This is KLCC News. I'm Angela Kellner. Today I'm speaking with State School Superintendent Susan Castillo. Susan, I would want to be able to just ask you, what is the achievement gap? What causes the achievement gap? And how do we close it? Pretty basic questions. There's a lot of detail in between, and we'll try and fill in some of that detail today. But let's start with that basic question of what is the achievement gap?
The achievement gap is the disparity that we see among the various student populations on student performance. So when we take a look at the data and we see how are our Hispanic students doing compared to the rest of the student population, and seeing that their performance is lower than the rest of the student population, or are economically disadvantaged students, as we when we look at that entire population, how are they performing compared to the our white students and the rest of the student population? And seeing those gaps in achievement and seeing them across the board as you're taking a look at what's happening in the elementary grades, why do we see this same pattern emerge in elementary, middle school, and then it worsens in high school, where you see disparities in the achievement levels of our Hispanic students or our economically disadvantaged students, our African American students? You know, I shouldn't pose it as a question. We know that this is happening. We're shining the light on that data and having some progress in closing the gap, but we certainly aren't where we need to be on helping every single student in our school have a successful school experience. As I said, we are making progress in some areas, in some grade levels more than others. And so the achievement gap is a high priority for our state. It certainly has been a high priority in my work and working with districts. And I know that all of us are working together on how we can put in place better supports for our struggling learners and eliminate, not just close the gap, but eliminate it.
How has the No Child Left Behind law addressed or influenced the achievement gap issue? Has it changed anything for better or for worse? And what would you want to change? I know it's a huge question, but what would you want to see changed about No Child Left Behind, just in terms of how we see the achievement gap?
Yeah. Well, I will say that I'll get into what I'd like to see change, but first let me just say that I don't think any of us have any arguments with what that law was about, and it really was about taking on the gap, shining the light on the achievement gap, and putting in place this new federal mandate for how states were going to be addressing it. But I think what we have all learned is that when you have a huge federal mandate like this, and as we were all learning about how this mandate was going to play out at the state level, at the district level, at the classroom level, lots of lessons have been learned. And we know that it's a law that gets in the way of innovation and being allowed to have the flexibility to be innovative on new approaches, new ways of how you look at data. No Child Left Behind set a bar, adequate yearly progress measurement, and it's getting over that bar. Well, in education, I would say today, and especially I know for educators in Oregon, we've moved beyond that. We're not just about a bar. We're about helping all kids continue to grow and do well in school and continue that growth year after year, and during the year continuing to grow. It's not about a bar. And so we really are changing how we think about student achievement growth and how we monitor that growth. And it's not about just one point in time measurement. It's ongoing support and measurement of student progress. And those are the best practices today. Well, that's not what No Child Left Behind mandates require. And so as we're working with the federal government on the reauthorization, I am encouraged that our new Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, is saying that he, as he looks at No Child Left Behind, he thinks what happened with that is that we were mandating the bars that we were going to set for achievement,
and how we got to those standards in each state. And he feels, as he talks about it today, he talks much more about making sure that we have the standards set right and then allowing for more innovation and flexibility in states on how we help our children get to those standards. So I'm encouraged by that, and I think that we are going to see a better, you know, rewrite or reauthorization on this law when it comes up for reauthorization. And I know he's doing a big listening tour around the country. You know, all of the states are have been for some time giving the federal government input about what we want to see changed and how we think it could work better for all of us. So I think we are going to be moving to a better place with this. And then certainly in the race to the top applications, that is an opportunity for states to say to the federal government, here's a better way for us to help our children be successful. And here's our plan for how we're going to make more progress in Oregon. Work with us on helping us implement this. And so I'm very encouraged that they're going to be getting this innovation from the states across our country, and it is going to inform how they think about the reauthorization.
And how confident are you that Oregon will be awarded some of that race to the top money, or will there be other opportunities for us to get some of the funding?
Well, I'm very optimistic. Our state really is a leader in several of these areas that are the requirements of the Act. The Act requires us to address our standards and assessments, what we're doing there, and our plan for continuing to make progress there. They want states to sign on to the National Common Core standards. For your listeners who haven't heard much about that, the states are working together on how we can create standards for what we want our students to know and be able to do in math and in reading, writing, and communication that are internationally benchmark standards that states would agree to and we would adopt, and then we would make a plan in the state of Oregon on how we would implement those standards and make them work for our state on how we do our standards work and implement standards in our state. So right now, we're sort of in the trying to fully understand what that adoption process means. But we're working on that. That's one of the requirements of being able to have a successful application. And then how we assess is another part of it. And we are the leading state in the country on what we do with online testing of all of our children. And we get asked to, my assessment director has been invited by a number of states to come and present to either their legislature or their leaders in education on what we're doing with online testing in Oregon and how it's working. States are interested in looking at perhaps adopting how we do online testing in Oregon into their states, because many, many states still do paper pencil testing. And it means that their students don't get immediate feedback on how they're doing on their testing, and neither do their teachers. Well, we have that in Oregon, and many, many states really want to figure out a way that they can deliver that for their teachers and their students as well. We need to address how we're going to continue to improve addressing the needs and the preparation and the performance of our education leaders and our teachers. And so we're doing some great work around that for our state. And then for our low performing schools, how our plan for how we're going to help our lowest performing schools in Oregon turn that performance around and help them. And we have some exciting proposals on the table that we're discussing right now in our application there as well. So I'm very encouraged and optimistic that I think our state's going to put together a strong plan, and hopefully we will get some of this. There's over $4 billion available to states in this competitive grant process. It's going to be highly competitive. So many states across the country are putting together their proposals. And what the federal government is looking for is innovative ideas, states that can make the case that they're ready to take their work to the next level. And I think we definitely are ready in Oregon with what we have been doing that sets us in a good place to be ready to take it to the next level.
Susan Castillo, thank you so much for spending some time with me this afternoon and helping to get this information out to our listeners and expand on some of these issues and topics in education in Oregon. Thank you again.
Thank you.